stay right there. Yvette, do not leave the stage. My name is Cammy, and I am an addict. And I'm sorry I forgot to call you. And congratulate you and celebrate you. But there's no buts. We're gonna celebrate you right now. Amen. With 30 fucking years. I am Cammy. I am still an addict. Nothing has changed in those 2 seconds. So when Herschel called me and asked me to be the main speaker like a week and a half ago, maybe, I was in a work meeting and people were going off and, you know, I work from home. I'm on mute and I'm talking my shit, right? And when my fiance got home, I told her and she was like, "You're the spiritual speaker?" And the first thing she said is, "Don't cuss." And I said, "Who gives a fuck, bro?" Because for me today, spirituality has nothing to do with religion. Thank goodness, right? Thank goodness. Thank goodness. You know, I'll share this to get it out of the way. Let's first just take a moment of silence. I'm going to invite my higher power. You invite yours. All right. My disease, because I said I was an addict, right? And regardless of clean time, I still got the disease of addiction. And immediately after I told Herschel yes, my disease goes, "You don't have a message. And you're going to go up there and everybody's going to think that this is nepotism because you were the last facilitator." Wow. Yeah, real talk. And the truth is, I know I have a message, right? The truth is, I know everything I have been through clean has been for a purpose. Thank you, Hackna. Thank you, Herschel. It's a blessing. It's an honor. I take recovery very serious. And I'm, you know how the literature talks about, you know, we need to be a little, like, less serious and all that? That's hard for me because, like, we're in here to save lives, right? And so we could kiki and ha-ha and, you know, do all the fun stuff. But when I'm in a meeting, I'm here to save my life, right? And there's a couple of people I want to, looking for my girl. Where you go, Abby? Are you here, Abby? Abby's not here yet. I want to, what about my buddy Bobby? You, Bobby? Aren't you Bobby? Yeah. Bobby, we met last night. like, we friends. Why are you acting like you don't know me? What the hell? Bobby, we were back there during the clean time countdown, and I was doing keep coming back. And you were like, what you know about keep coming back? And I was like, I know a lot about keep coming back, keep coming back. And your spirit, you touched me. And you said you were from Baytown or League City or some shit out there. And I was like, yeah, I don't go way out there. And then we have... I'm going to do this, and I would probably be terrified. But Lauren, yeah, you, Lauren. We're doing all this for you, like for real, for you, because I was in your spot. I want to say you have 36 hours now, maybe? Stand up, Lauren. Stand up. And when I get all up in my head and, you know, I think, fucking A. Oh, and I do curse. And I feel let down by the fellowship, not the program. I remember why I do keep coming back, right? Couple quick disclaimers here. I'm in perimenopause, so at any moment, my mind is going to spaz out. I'm going to forget what I'm talking about, okay? I may get a hot flash. I will not take off this jersey because I ain't got to live like that no more. And I get sayings mixed up, so just stay with me, okay? So keeping hope alive in 2025. I've heard so many definitions of hope this week, in the last couple days, and I gotta grab my readers. I was trying to be cute up here and not have to put on these damn readers, but it's okay. So, in hearing all of the different sayings and definitions and acronyms and everything that I've heard about hope, I was like, I was going to say that. Yeah, I agree with that, right? Because this program's very simple, right? And there's no, we all have a message. We all have a story. All I can share is my experience, which may be a bit different than others. But overall, what you're going to relate to today is those feelings and emotions. And regardless of whether you've done it or not, right, just like our literature talks about, the one thing that is central, and no matter what, no matter how long I'm clean, is that I am an addict. My clean date is 11/24/09, and for that, I am grateful. So in living clean, yeah, I can't see that. We cannot pretend that spirituality is not central to the NA program or the NA way of life. But there is room within that for people of all beliefs, including those with no belief at all. Our right to own our own spirituality in NA is unconditional, and that also means we must allow that right to others. It's not very complicated, but this is one area of our recovery that we seem to love to complicate. Any single definition of spiritual principles would be too restrictive for us. Our traditions remind us that NA is not a place where any single spiritual path is endorsed. And I said that earlier, right? So I find myself constantly here telling and sharing with my sponsees that everything is spiritual in nature, right? And what I love about spirituality is it's not linear. There's not a straight shot, right? I grew up in the church, and, you know, I was at Sunday school, Bible study, church camp, hallelujah night, you know. Keep in mind, I'm not endorsing right now. I'm sharing my experience. It's going to be okay. And I did all these things. But the part I struggled with is I was taught a God and a higher power that it was damned if you do, right? If you make this mistake, you're damned to hell, Cammie. And I never learned in all the years of being there in the church of how to use what I was learning in real life. And based on my experience, when I started using at 21, I came from this mentality of I've fucked up my life, and now, like, I'm gonna be the best bad person, right? Because I'm an addict. I go left extreme, I go right extreme. And as I've stayed clean and worked the steps, I try to find that happy balance. My experience is that I am always using something. I haven't used drugs in over 15 years, right? But I am always using something. It can be positive, it can be negative. I am never not using something. Right? And for me, it's finding that balance of not getting too high and not getting too low, right? And so I got clean, right? And I remember my last day using, and they used to say when I got here, if you don't remember your last day, it might not be your last day. And I too still believe that because it reminds me of where I came from, right? And that's really what it's about. And it reminds me of where I could go back to. Drugs are still a problem in my life today. If I choose, right? Like, I am not removed from drugs. I just make a choice today not to choose that, But I am not confused. When I smell weed, it smells good. And I have to be honest with myself and others because, you know, as a newcomer, we think that we're supposed to be, you know, a certain way. And I know early on in recovery, even though I heard progress, not perfection, I was seeking perfection. I was seeking that same bullshit that church had taught me of, like, self-righteousness. And the truth is, the longer I stayed clean, the less I know, right? And I keep coming back. Because even though I'm an addict, I'm also a human being. I fall short all the time, y'all. Please don't get it twisted. The people that know me know, like, just because I'm up here sharing, it's just because I'm a vessel. I keep coming back for a reason. And it's not because I just want to kick it with y'all. I love y'all, but I could find way better things to do. They wouldn't be good, but I find other things, you know? So I got clean. I was 30. Had two kids. I didn't know what the hell I was doing as a parent. My kids had been taken away. My bottom was, I lost everything. That's what it took for me. It doesn't have to take the same, right? And the biggest thing I remember from my last day was that emptiness, that broken spirit. I felt like a ghost in the world, right? Like, there was nothing left inside of me. I did not want to live. But I was too chicken to commit suicide. I definitely had no hope. I remember talking to God, who at this point I had cursed out, up, down, all around, and was like, look, if this is what life is about, I'm done. Because this is too painful. This is, like, what's the point? And I also had called my mom. And I admitted for the first time that I might have a drug problem, right? And she had told me to, you should go to the emergency room, Cammie. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I knew nothing about NA. I knew about AA because in my mom's side of the family, they do AA, right? And quite frankly, a lot of them got problems with drugs. But for them, AA looks better, right? Because us drug addicts, we grimy. You know, and we the hood, and, you know, but, I mean, I went to Al-Anon. I couldn't tell you what I learned there, but I went for prevention so I wouldn't become an alcoholic, and that shit didn't work. I became an addict, which is Cammie. That's my nature. Whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to try to be the best at it. So I didn't just stop at alcohol. I'm going to use everything, right? And, you know, I'm grateful that I came in when I came in. It wasn't quite the sit down, shut, you know, the F up and put the cotton in. But it was a little bit less than that. And, you know, there were men of virtue that supported me and pushed me to the women, right? And people let me know, keep coming back, right? I thought I had my stuff together when I got here. And apparently, my buddy Frank was like, yeah, we didn't think you were going to make it. And I'm you don't know me, you know? So I've been through some things clean, right? And I'll say this again. This is not literature. This is my experience. If you don't agree, it's okay. It was easy for me to get clean because I had no other options, but it is hard as fuck to stay clean. This shit is not easy. When life shows up, when things take place, I've questioned God. I've cursed God. I've gotten mad at y'all. You know, my story, unfortunately, has a lot to do with death. I know, it's like a bummer. It is. It's like, I feel like sometimes death. So my grandmother on my dad's side who raised me, I got a tattoo of her. It means death. I was high. People were like, who gets death? Like, it's in Chinese letters. But she raised me, and she had passed away from pancreatic cancer in 07, and my clean date is 09, right? And when she was dying, they called me to come see her, and I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. During this time, I had lost my kids through CPS. Heavy in my addiction, and it was too much. Came to Houston to get clean or to stop, right? Because I've done the religion thing as far as stopping and going to church, and you know, it didn't work for me. I don't knock anything that works for you. But the only thing that has ever worked for me is this program. And when I say this program, I mean getting a sponsor, calling that sponsor, getting honest with the sponsor. I shared with one of my sponsees. I actually shared with two. I said, look, you can't bullshit a bullshitter. I can only help you as much as you are honest with me. But if we're going to sugarcoat the story and we're going to put a cute bow on it, then that's all I can know. Right? I'm here to help you. But you got to help yourself first. You got to get honest with you first, right? And sometimes when I share things with my sponsees, I hear a long, just quiet. And I'm like, oh, Lord, did I say the wrong shit? Because I love them. And I want them to get what I got. Y'all, I came from prostituting on Bissonnette. Who knows Bissonnette? I know y'all know motherfucking Bissonnette. And I'm not proud of it. I am not proud of it. But the person you see here today is not that person 15 years ago. And I gotta let the newcomer know that, like, I know where you came from. I know. And I don't ever want to go back. And so in 2011, my grandmother on my mom's side, she passed away from lung cancer, and we had been estranged. And I got the opportunity to go and meet her. You know, I struggle with abandonment, right? When I was two, my mom left me at the daycare. Never came back. And she said it was just too much. And my dad's mom tells me all this, which, like, they were arguing, and my grandma sliced her with a knife, and, you know. And obviously, you don't tell a kid that. I didn't need to know that. Like, why do I have to be a casualty in y'all's BS? And my mom's side of the family, so I'm Irish and Black, right? And my mom's side of the family, a majority are racist. And so when I used to go to my grandmother, my mom's mom, she would tell me, it's not your fault you are the way you are. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, you're Black. And, you know, and growing up, like many of us, I never felt like I belonged, right? I always felt different. And this was when I was, like, doing esteemable things, right? Because that's what I do. To get the love, the validation, to get that feeling of I belong, I learned and practiced I'm going to be the best, right? And I, you know, I was like an honor roll student in high school. I had a basketball scholarship. Like, I don't know if y'all know, but like, I played basketball, you know what I'm saying? Like, for real. I was a 3-point shooter, a guard, you know, I could do the damn thing. And now I can't because the last time I played basketball and I went to do a layup, a little pee came out. I was like, oh, hell no, I'm getting old. What the hell? And I was at my girlfriend's family reunion. It wasn't a little bit, let me tell the truth. I had to change shorts. It was all wet. I was like, oh boy, not a good way to meet folks. You know, my dad, he was in prison. My dad was one of us, right? And he was in prison from 5 years old till 23. And he got out. I was at Taberkna in Beaumont in 2011, and on the way home, he told me he needed to talk to me, and he told me he had gotten cancer. He had only been out 3 months, y'all. He was going to NA. We were home group members together. And I immediately thought, what the hell? Like, I got this sense of entitlement. I'm clean, I'm working steps, you know, I'm the coffee girl, you know, because at this time I had like a year and a half clean, you know, and I'm being of service and I'm doing the right things for the right reasons. See, along the way, I believed my relationship with my higher power was transactional. I believed if I do good things, then good things are going to happen. If I do bad things are going to happen. But if you remember what I said in the beginning, that's that root stuff that I learned from a child, right? That's still in there because it don't work that way. And so he passed away 6 months from getting out for the first time. No probation, no parole, no monitor. His anniversary of passing was last Saturday. And I had journaled. This is what I wrote. 13 years today since my dad passed. It hurts to know all of the life, joy, happiness, sorrow, change, beauty he missed. It's so strange to grieve someone you never got to even spend life with. It also reminds me that too could have been me. A spirit lost in addiction and never free. So the question continues, what can I do differently to remain free? Laura knows, so my great sponsor, all that. A big thing in our sponsorship family is how free do you want to be, right? Because freedom is addictive. For me, it's addictive. I want to be free. And the other piece that comes with it, our literature talks about, with much freedom comes much responsibility. And that's the part that sometimes I'm like, damn, man. I don't want to be responsible today. And then in 2021, I lost my boyfriend, my partner, of 12 years, unexpectedly. I came home from having a girls' day, and so excited to be like, Alan, we had a great day, and you know, I had relaxed, and all this stuff, and my daughter had came down from college, and it was much needed because he had been in the hospital for a long time. And I go upstairs and I'm looking for him. He's not in the bed, and it's football season, so you know, I assume he watching football. If he knew Alan, he watching football. And I couldn't find him. And then I go into the restroom, and he's there on the toilet. And I'm like, it was an out-of-body experience, right? Like, my first thought, y'all, was he was asleep. And my second thought was, well, I need to slap him to wake him up. And then I screamed. And my kids were there. And they're like 22, 21. I have a son and a daughter. And We get him off, me and my son, and my daughter starts doing mouth-to-mouth. My mom calls 911. And I had hope. And I had faith that he was not going to die. And I prayed. And like when I tell y'all I had hope and faith, my whole being was like, this man is not going to die. And then I blacked out. All I remember is begging the EMS people to take him to the hospital and fix him. And then I just went to my sister's arms because it was too much. Because again, I had this transactional relationship with my higher power. Alan's a good man. He does a lot for this program, you know? He helped me. He helped raise these kids with me. He was a father. He was a man of virtue. He was a good friend. He was a great sponsor. How dare you, God? After that, my recovery kicked in. First person I call is my sponsor. She's always the first. She was like, Cammie, I got COVID. I said, I don't give a fuck about COVID right about now. That's what we were trying to avoid, right? Because he had underlying health conditions. At this point, the most important person who didn't need to get it has now died. So come on, Christine. And she came. And she helped me. And y'all showed up for me, right? You know, I never told anyone this because it's kind of embarrassing. And it's kind of like, makes me seem a little cuckoo. But I used to lay, because he passed in our house, in our bedroom, the spot where the EMS were working on him. I used to lay on that floor so I could be close to him. And I would sniff the carpet so I could smell his aroma because I couldn't lose him. And every night I'd just go down there and just lay there. I remember hearing a speaker, and she was like, you got to learn your fetal position and all that. It was early in recovery. I'm like, what the hell is she talking about? I knew, right? That's why, like, when we're in meetings and we hear people share, what someone may be sharing may not be what you're going through right now. But you don't know what the future has to hold. And I heard that, right? And like a couple years before that, the main speaker here at HACNA, she had lost her husband. And so I had called her. And I was like sharing what was going on. And, you know, It's something that unless you've gone through it, it's very hard to express. Sammy, you know. Carl, you know. Carl's my dude, y'all. So I'm a lesbian now. And there's, I'm gonna keep it a buck with y'all. Men, talking to y'all. Y'all let these newcomers get clean. They don't need a ride from you. They don't need you to buy them a free fucking coffee or a meal. I can help them out. Celeste can help them out. Carol can do it. Y'all don't bullshit a bullshitter. We know what the fuck you be doing. Because ain't nothing in life for free. So y'all give them that space. You know what I'm saying? But I say, for me, I don't kick it with a whole lot of men. I didn't even when I was with a man. It's just my personal thing. Y'all remember I said I was a prostitute. I made a commitment to myself when I got clean. I wasn't going to be a hoe in NA, and I haven't been. So I know what healthy boundaries look like, and there's plenty of women that can share and support me. I'm a big believer in women kicking it with women. I'm not saying you can't have friends, because Carl's my dude. Carl's my dude. Carl lost his wife not long after. And I remember we were in San Antonio at a convention, and it was like the first convention since both of our partners had passed. And we were just like two lost little puppies just walking around there. Carl, you hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry. Let's go eat. We go and ate and chopped it up. And right after, what was that hurricane where we all lost electricity for like a week? Harvey? Fucking Harvey. And that was not too much longer after Alan had passed. And I was like, really, God? Like, okay, I've stayed clean through this death. And now I got hurricane, I got electricity, I have my son and my mom living with me, and they ain't the most helpful folks or resourceful. And I was in there MacGyvering it and, you know, all this stuff, and we went to my sister's, came back, all that. Finally, when we get back, the water people had left a note, and they thought it was a leak in the house, and I'm like, oh, like. And so, of course, I call Carl, and he helps me figure out how to cut the water back on. But y'all don't tell nobody, because afterwards, I was like, Carl, should I be doing this? Like, is this legal? And he's like, well, if they come knocking on your door, don't answer. Goodness gracious.
You called me on Alan's phone.
Oh, yeah. I had called him on Alan's phone. I don't even know.
You called me on Alan's phone.
Yeah, I did. And I freaked him out. And boy. I don't know why things happen. I'm not going to say I don't question it sometimes, but I've learned that it is what it is, right? I've learned that I don't have control over things or life. we could truly stay clean through no matter what. No matter what, you know? And it amazes me, like, Yvette is like my superhero. She's been through a whole hell of a lot. I can't even imagine what she's gone through. She's lost two kids, clean. She's lost her brother, her best friend. And, you know, she's had her struggles with staying, not staying, all of that. But she stayed clean. As long as we stay clean, we have a fighting chance, right? All right, I got one thing I'm going to share, and then in Living Clean, it says, after years clean, we experience ourselves differently than we did in the beginning. As we develop an identity beyond addict, we wonder whether that label still applies, whether we still belong in the fellowship. We tend to learn balance by bouncing off both extremes. Questioning our relationship with NA can take it to a deeper level. The answers we find help to resolve our new reservations, and the security to question our foundation is part of the secret to solidifying it for a lifetime. You know, I too have been struggling. It's hard as fuck, y'all, to be coming to meetings. Like, I met Alan when I had 6 months clean, and here lately, I feel lost in this program, and I've been sharing about it. And I, you know, I left the home group that he and I shared, started going to another home group. My home group, my sponsor said last night to me, "You mean the home group you don't go to?" It's like, you show right, because the truth is I haven't. And I've been doing online meetings. It's very hard, but I'm staying in the solution and trying to stick and stay. I know I'm sick. I'm gonna tell y'all this last story. So my grandbaby, I'm a grandma. And my grandbaby was in this baby of the year, right? Thing, and you can vote daily or you can buy votes. Y'all see where I'm going with this shit? And he didn't win. Y'all, I was locked and loaded. This is how the disease works, right? So it was getting close to the final of the final round, and you have all these rounds, and, you know, and I'm telling my family we need a vote. He's in second. I'm giving play-by-plays like it's a game, and I'm watching, and I donate, and it was like double points that day, right? So if you donate $5, he gets credit for 10. And y'all know, we at it. So this is getting it going. It's gone. And I'm watching. And I'm going to start with just 20, right? Start with 100. I spent $1,000 that night. No lie. And he did not lose. I mean, he did not win. And I justify it Well, if he wins, Cammie, he wins a $25,000 scholarship. And so you're investing in your grandson's future. That's the insanity, right? Y'all, that's why I keep coming back. I love you, Rochelle. And I'm blessed to have you in my life. I'm a lot. I know it. And I'm grateful that I could come today and be of service. So thank you for letting me share.